everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show. Dialing in, I'm dialing in from Calgary, Alberta in Canada, and the show is airing out of Dallas, Texas. So welcome to all of the international listeners, no matter where you are in the world, this is a global show. And I'm joined today by my guest, who I will formally introduce in just a moment, Jodi Graham. Welcome, Jodi, dialing in from Edmonton, I'm guessing.
Beaumont, just outside of Edmonton.
Just outside Edmonton. So here we are today, two Canadians, two Albertans on the same call, which is pretty rare in my Zoom rooms these days. So the opportunity to join the conversation today, I'm really excited and thrilled that Jodi was able to join me, because Jodi is one of my favorite people who is an extreme professional. I'll give her bio in just a moment. And the reason that I even host this show and invite guests is it's all about resilience. It's all about women rising up, using their communication skills to ask for what they want and get it. You may have seen this book. You can see it behind me. I'll just put it up close to the screen there. Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book that launched overnight, hit bestseller. It's actually almost 5 years ago now, including 40 different words and word concepts to help women to ask for what they want and get it. Sometimes it's such a subtle shift. It's really an easy thing to practice. And yet it just makes such an impact when women take back their power. I'm going to share a little bit more about that and another story later on. But the essence of the show is to prove, to demonstrate that there are resilient women who are rising from tragedy to triumph and are now out in the world doing really interesting work. And I love speaking to those who are A, helping people. Jodi's also a certified executive coach, as am I, and also making a difference, making an impact. So Jodi, welcome. Jodi, by way of an introduction, Jodi is a chartered professional accountant. She's also a Royal Roads grad, a university trained coach, same university as me, registered collaborative professional. I'm going to have her share a bit later what that involves. And she's also an experienced mediator, and her specialty is, well, it's evolved, and it's evolved into divorce coaching and mediation, which she has a wealth of experience to share on that topic. She's also, as am I, a certified bank coach, and we both use this topic of personality science in our business. We'll talk about that too. Communication tools, especially personality science, can transform how we communicate with each other. So whether it's clients, or whether it's in the divorce proceedings, whether it's negotiations between different lawyers, I mean, ultimately, having clear communications, especially values-based communications, allows each party to make an informed, confident decision, which is what helps get to resolution. So with an extensive background in finance and conflict resolution, Jodi's divorce coaching services focus on helping clients manage not only the financial and the logistical, but the emotional complexities of separation. I can talk about that a little bit later on myself personally. And she guides them to advocate for themselves, avoid common pitfalls, and overall achieve better outcomes, both for themselves and also that important part of bringing together the family. Her mediation expertise ensures balance, structure, an environment where both parties can resolve disputes with dignity and mutual respect. So, so important. By offering a blend of practical financial insights, using personality-based strategies and emotional support, Jodi empowers her clients. That's what coaches do. We empower our clients. And in her case, to navigate through divorce with clarity, reducing stress, fostering collaboration. And obviously this is during a time of one of life's most challenging transitions. So welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to call this show today Breaking Through Divorce, How My Experience Became a Catalyst for Coaching and Legal Innovation. So I'd like to start with the story, right? Whenever women are excited, passionate, and making a difference, it's usually because they've leveraging their personal experience. They went through something that was really unpleasant, or an experience that was one of their kids, or something that was so painful. They said, this has to stop. There has to be a better way. And they decided to start a business that offered a service to counteract whatever the issue was. So tell me about the story. Like, what was in your tragedy story that led you to be so passionate about this topic of divorce coaching? Because it's certainly not a common, when I hear about coaches and disciplines, it's usually, career coaching, executive coaching, sports coaching. I haven't heard so much about divorce coaching. So share your story,
Yeah.
Jackie.
So my journey started back in 2013. I went through my own divorce, as you said. It's usually grounded in your own experiences. So 2013, I made the difficult decision to tell my husband that I no longer wanted to be married. It had been a long, painful divorce, or painful marriage rather, that I just felt had kind of run its course, and I wasn't happy anymore. And I had to have that difficult awakening within myself, as well as to be able to have that most difficult conversation to say that I didn't want to be married anymore. And we started out going through the mediation process. We navigated, we thought we had come to an agreement, and when we took that mediation agreement to our individual lawyers to have it looked after, there were some concerns that his lawyer had around our agreement. And so we ended up going through the collaborative process, and we can talk a little bit more about the different types of divorce if we need to, but we ended up going through that collaborative process, and it was difficult, and I didn't have the language then that I have now. But in that collaborative process, it was an interest-based negotiation. What is within the best interest of our kids? What's within the best interest of for myself? What's within his best interest? And so, like, I didn't have that language then, but it really was a hard process, but it was a fair process. And I actually felt like I had a voice. So many of my clients now, when I hear them going through the litigation process, man, they don't really have much of a voice. They're being told what needs to happen, or it can get very tumultuous and very adversarial. Whereas in the collaborative process, the lawyers really do help to keep it amicable, calmer, respectful. And I did feel like I had more of a say in what the outcome of it was. And what really got me into divorce coaching, so I didn't start divorce coaching until about 2016, and I kind of fell into it by accident. But coming out of our divorce, my ex-husband said something about how, he was bitter, without doubt, and said that it was my fault that it cost him $12,000 for the divorce. And I was shocked because it cost me four, and I didn't understand why. And so after doing a little bit of questioning and kind of digging into it a little bit, I realized that as a CPA, I was able to look at some of the scenarios and do all my own number crunching, build my own spreadsheets, look at all of that information, meet with my lawyer for a few minutes before our four-way meeting, debrief with her a few minutes after our four-way meeting, and then I would go back home and recrunch all the numbers to see what scenario was going to work best for me. Well, he did all of that, but he did it with his lawyer, and his lawyer was like $400 or $450 an hour. And so it was like, holy, like, just to think of how much money he was spending. And lawyers are, they're smart people, but they're not financial people. It probably takes them longer to explain something that would take me a little bit less time. That's not their forte in a lot of cases. And so it just kind of morphed. And I started getting, after I got my coaching certification in 2016, I had a few friends reach out. Hey, I'm going through this divorce, and I really don't understand the numbers. I don't understand what I can leverage in negotiations. And so I just started ha helping family. I started helping friends, and then those friends started recommending friends. And the next thing you know, a business was born. And so it's been a bit of a journey to get. I started out, I wanted to do women's coaching, and then I wanted to do executive coaching, but I kept getting drawn back to helping people through divorce. And so I finally just decided, you know what? The universe is trying to pull me in that direction, and I just need to listen. And so I've kind of gotten away from a lot of the other coaching now, and I just focus on divorce coaching and mediation.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely one of those areas where there are so many rules, regulations, laws, case studies. I mean, it's almost like being a lawyer, right? Because you're using the same terminology, you're using some of the same abbreviations, you're aware of what the process is, if this is going to be going through the courts, etc. And so it isn't the same as hosting a coaching conversation where you're showing up and, you and I did the same Railroads training, and almost the client is setting the agenda for the conversation, and we're holding space to ask the powerful questions to help people self-discover. This is almost like quasi coaching mentoring. It's different, right? It requires skill. It requires, yes, compassion. And also, I believe you took some collaborative training as well. You're not only using your coaching certification, you have some other certifications too, right?
So collaborative law is where you have two collaboratively trained lawyers and their clients, and you come into a room with the four of them and negotiate from an interest-based perspective. But the unique part about the collaborative process is they can bring in neutrals to help with that process. So if you have one of the two parties, or potentially both of the parties, that are struggling to understand or get their financial disclosures done, they'll bring in a financial neutral. If there's a business involved and they need to have business evaluations done to determine the property split, they'll bring in business valuation professionals. If they need to sell the house and they're having disagreements on how they're going to approach that, they'll bring in mortgage neutrals. If there's co-parenting issues, they will often bring in family specialists or family neutrals to help in that case. I'm one of the very few in North America that is a certified coach and a financial professional and a mediator. There's financial professionals, there's family professionals, and while I very much stay in my lane. If there are domestic violence issues, if there's substance abuse issues, I will not step in as a family neutral. But if it's more a sense of overwhelm and feeling that lack of confidence and not being able to advocate for themselves, well, then I might be able, I can, I will step in as a family neutral and a financial neutral all at the same time. And so like I said, I think I'm one of maybe two of in North America that has all three disciplines. So I always say I meet my clients where they are. I've had clients that call me and say, "Hey, can we set up a meeting? I need to go through my numbers one more time before I meet with the lawyer tomorrow." And I've gotten on the phone call with them and I've been met with tears because, the kids are struggling with the going back and forth, and dad didn't show up today. And she's at her wit's end and just needs a different type of coach. And so I park the financial coach and I put on my emotional coach, and I meet you where you are, and I help talk you through that and work through. And so I really pivot wherever I need to pivot. And so it's just so rewarding to be able to help them navigate so many different dynamics and be able to say to them, "I've been there, I understand what you're going through."
So the overall process, you refer to the collaborative process. So that's one way to go. And then is there another way to go?
Yeah, so
Because
there's
when you and
three
I talked, it was
primary.
the first time that I'd heard about that process, right?
Yeah, so there's three primary ways that you can go through it. First is mediation. So that is your mediator, and it doesn't have to be a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm trained in mediation. So you have your mediator and the two parties, and the mediator will just help you negotiate and come to agreement on how you're going to divide your property, what payments are going to look like for child support, spousal support, all of that. You then take your agreement to a lawyer, have it drafted up, and as long as there's no red flags for the lawyers, you can sign off your agreement and be done. They'll file it with the courts, you're done. On the collaborative side of things, that's where you have your two collaboratively trained lawyers and they do what they call four-way meetings. And sometimes they will bring in the neutrals as well. But with collaborative, you actually are entering into an agreement to state that you will not go to court. You will basically solve all of your divorce proceedings through the collaborative process and look at it from an interest-based perspective. And you sign that you will not go to court. And if you decide for some reason that negotiations are falling apart and you decide you want to go to court, you both have to terminate your agreements with your lawyers and start fresh. You can't even use the same law firm. You have to completely move aside and go to find somebody different. And then, of course, there's the traditional, what most people think is divorce, and that's the litigation side of things. And that's where you start going through the court process. I believe there's some changes happening here in Alberta anyway, where they're starting to use alternative dispute resolutions, but that's as expensive as going through the court process. In that regard, you don't have as much say. And I had one of the lawyers explain to me one time. He said, "This is how I like to explain it." Because I've had people say, "I don't want to go collaborative. I don't want to sit in the same room with the other person." You will sit in the same room with the other person in litigation, but it's going to be more adversarial. There's often where they're trying to make you out like you're a bad parent, that you're not working together. They try to paint you in this bad light to try and get what they want because they want their day in court. The collaborative process doesn't allow that to happen, right? It's more collaborative, it's more cooperative, it's more amicable. That's why they call it the collaborative process. And so, the training that I have is I had to be trained in interest-based negotiations. I had to be trained in family law mediation. I cannot give legal advice, and I will not give legal advice. But I still am trained to do a mediation and come up with the agreement. And that's why you have to take it to your independent lawyers, because you need your lawyer to give you any legal advice if there's anything offside. And when I say offside, even when you're going through the mediator can't give advice and they can't say that's a really bad idea or a really good idea because they have to stay neutral. And there's power imbalances that can happen. And sometimes people end up in mediation because their spouse, who might have a power over situation, convinces them that's the way to go because they want to continue to manipulate the situation. And the mediators will do everything they can to try and identify those situations and maybe steer them in another direction. But sometimes that's how people end up in mediation, is because there's a power imbalance in the marriage, and the person that has that power over situation convinces the other one, yeah, let's just go to mediation and make this work, and in the meantime, take advantage. That's where having the independent legal have a look at it and say, this is not right. This You should be getting more of what is being split right now, and then the mediator or the lawyers can step in and help to make it right.
So, given that you've gone through your own divorce and choosing the collaborative process, then getting training in the collaborative, the mediation elements, when someone says, I don't know where to start, right? What's my first step? What do you guide them with?
The first step is really just getting your house in order. And what I mean by that is, there's no matter what realm you go down, whether it's mediation, collaboration, litigation, you have to get your financials together. So you have to pull together all of your bank statements. You have to pull together all of your tax returns, your notices of assessment, all of your pay stubs. You have to disclose all of your assets, all of your debts. So the first step I always say, and I actually encourage, and I actually have a lot of clients that come to me before they've ever talked to a lawyer. And they come to me to get everything organized, get their head in the right headspace, start to get a little bit more empowered on how to advocate for themselves, get their financials organized. And then they will engage a lawyer to say, "Okay, I'm ready. Here you go." And they just hand over their package. And that is such a great way to start because you don't have to spend any time or any money with your lawyers up front pulling all of that together because it's already done. You just walk in and you just hand it. And getting yourself organized like that before you start the process can really shift how you feel about walking into that room, because I work with you ahead of time to help you get that level of confidence up. So by the time you talk to your lawyer, you're what I call lawyer ready. You've gone through all of your financials. You have an idea of what some of your levers are in the negotiation, and you can speak to your lawyer with confidence and be able to be clear on what you want. It's one of the mistakes that I think a lot of people make in divorce. A, they treat their lawyer like a therapist, and they spend an awful lot of time telling their lawyer everything that SOB did wrong, and I gotten screwed over for this, and they really start to unload the emotional side. Divorce is really a business arrangement. It's a business deal. And you want to try and keep your emotions out of that aspect of it. I'm here to help you navigate some of the emotional side of things. But when you're spending time with your lawyer, unless it's relevant to the outcome, don't waste your lawyer's time and don't pay your lawyer, $350 to $450 an hour to be discussing things that aren't relevant to the outcome.
Yeah, it's going to add up pretty quickly.
It does. It adds up very quickly. So, that is one of the common mistakes. And then the other one is not being clear what your goals are. If you don't know what your goals are coming out of the divorce, that they might be arguing or not arguing, but that they might be advocating for something that doesn't actually help you achieve your goal. And I have so many people that come and their first thing is, I have to keep the house. I must keep the house. And once we start talking about what their goals are and what do they want to get out of it, it's like, okay, but if you keep the house, then that's not going to help you achieve this other goal that you have over here because you're going to be house poor. And so really just helping them come to terms with, hey, what's the new normal coming out of the divorce? And it's not the four walls that you're currently living in all cases. And so really doing that goal setting before you walk in with your lawyer to know what's the ultimate outcome that I want out of it. And if financial security is one of them, sometimes keeping the house is actually working against that. And so
True.
helping them to see how those are all interconnected.
Right. So if someone is just saying, well, I'm just going to go find a lawyer because they haven't even heard about you, which is why I love having amazing guests on my show who are skilled, talented, and yet sometimes they're very much underground because they either haven't been in business a lot or they're mostly doing their business work through referrals. And so unless someone's filled you in, you don't even know that Jody's out there doing this. So that's part of the reason for airing the show.
There you go.
So the lawyer would basically come back and say, here's what I need from you, and you're going to have to go away and gather it all anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that they'll just hand them a list and say, here's your disclosure package that you need to put together. And I've had people call me and say, I don't even like, what is this? What do I need to do for this? And I'm like, do you own a business? No, then you don't have to do that. Oh, I thought I had to gather everything on the list. Well, everything that's relevant. But they just get overwhelmed because the paper, like the financial disclosure package, is like a two-page document. Well, it doesn't, not everything applies to every single situation. But when you're in that state of overwhelm, you don't always think that rationally, right? And so they're thinking, oh, what do I have to gather for that? Well, you don't, because you don't own a business. So it's okay. You don't have to worry about that piece. So it's just really helping to kind of peel back the layers and help them understand, okay, these are the different pieces that you need. And I've had clients refer to me from lawyers that are like, their parties are really struggling to get their financial disclosure done. And I will literally just say, you know what, your homework for tonight is go get your bank statements. That's
Right,
it.
break it up into
Just
small chunks.
go get it. You know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So just go get your bank statements. We'll worry about the next one next time. And that it just helps to calm them down because it's like, oh, okay, I can do that.
Right.
And they do that. And sometimes it takes them 2 weeks to do that, but it's okay. We just like one step at a time.
Yeah. Well, the emotional charge that goes along with all of that very often delays putting those pieces together. Putting my hand up here, right? Yeah. So, what else do people, especially women, because this show is primarily, I think, audience listeners are women. What else in particular do women need to know that is very often misunderstood or is not requested, not shared? Like, what in particular do women need?
Well, I will tell you that probably 90% of my clients are women because women, I think, traditionally haven't been the ones looking after the finances in the home. And so they're not as confident in dealing with finances. A lot of my clients have been stay-at-home moms for a number of years, and either A, are just getting back into the workforce or are not in the workforce and are feeling very, very vulnerable because, they've been their whole married life, they've been provided for as part of the marriage. And so now they're feeling, and of course, in that time of hostility going through a divorce, often the men are, you didn't go out and work, so therefore you don't deserve some of this. And so it's heartbreaking actually to see. But most of my clients are women, and it's because they are just in that state of overwhelm because they have never had to really deal with the family finances and they're just not overly confident with it. And I would say that, a lot of them are just, they're worried about standing up for themselves or saying too much or advocating too strongly because they're worried they're going to create that level of animosity that's going to have their spouse digging their heels in and taking even more. And are not, they don't know how to find their voice to speak up for what they need and what they think they should have. Right. And I always try to tell people, like, stay away from the word entitlement because that just gets everybody's back up. Like, don't go into the proceedings and say, well, I'm entitled to 50%, because if your spouse is feeling like you didn't pull your weight, that word entitled just sends them over the edge. And so I teach them and work with them to find other words, right? And that's what your whole book, right? Choose the words that you're using. And so really I work with them to try to find different language to advocate for themselves without it being an entitlement.
I was looking at your website. So if you've just joined the show, Jodi's website, empoweredcollaboration.ca, and I'll repeat that again at the end. Jodi Graham, my guest today. So on the website, I noticed that there was a tab called Inspiration, and there are a ton of articles. I dived into one of them that was talking about communication, and I found a lot of wisdom nuggets in there. Yes, I wrote the book for women, and yes, it's 40 different words, word concepts to help women ask for what they want and get it. Even simple things like not saying you, right? You is one of those words that, well, you did this or you did that. As soon as people hear the word you, the bat goes up, the
Oh,
hackles go up,
100%.
right? And so I know, and you mentioned about this in your article, how can you keep the focus on, the situation, right? This happened and this was, what the impact of this was, and how do we then move forwards, to keep it from being a you, me accusation, which just ends up getting everybody riled up. And
Yeah, it's very inflammatory.
if you're in court and that's getting, that's the emotional charge. I haven't been in this situation, so I don't know, but I can't imagine the judge is very patient with, a
Oh, and
cat.
often you don't get, like, some folks decide they want to go to the litigation route because they want their day in court. And their view of their day in court is what they see on television. And that's not how it works. When you go the court route, sometimes you never ever see a judge. It goes through arbitration, it's still the lawyers going through that litigation process, and it can get a little bit more hostile. Sometimes it can be done somewhat collaboratively, even if you're going that route. But you don't always get in front of a judge. Doesn't
So
always
who
happen.
ultimately
And
decides if something
well,
is
ultimately it can still
here?
it's the lawyers that end up doing the most of the talking as far as the negotiation, and they kind of, or you could have an arbitrator that makes the decision for you. But even if you go to a judge, The judge doesn't know you. They don't know your situation. They don't know your family. They don't know your kids. All they know is what they kind of hear, and they will make the decision. And
Right.
once they make that decision, it's binding.
Yeah.
And they're making that decision without knowing your situation. And that's why I will always advocate for my clients to go the collaborative route, because you then have some say and control in what the outcome is. And you know your kids, you know what's going to be within their best interest. Now, there are times when you absolutely need a judge to tell you what needs to happen because there's domestic violence involved, because there's spousal abuse happening, or the. Oh, hold on, my computer just timed out.
Oh, you're still alive.
Okay, sorry.
It's still recording.
I'm trying to see you again here. So yeah, it's you need the judge to be able to tell you this is what's happening, because like there's substance abuse, there's all kinds of situations, and you need the judge to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. And I know couples that every time there's a change in position, well, I'm taking you back to court for more child support. I'm taking you back to court for this. I'm taking you back to court for that. And it's like, well, you're damaging yourself. You're damaging your spouse. You're damaging your children, because you're just constantly at each other and fighting. And if you can go down that collaborative route and really look at it from what's within the best interest of all of the parties, you can get to an agreement that suits yourself so much better.
Right. So if you reach an agreement, much like you were just describing, once it's done, it's done. There's no going back. Keep on revisiting and opening up the wound again. So is that right?
And you can, even with collaborative, you can go back and revisit, right? So, say when you're going through the divorce process, your kids aren't even in school yet. They're still really young, and that happens all the time. And then once they're in school, it's like, oh, okay, well, our parent co-parenting agreement that we had when we were when the before the kids were in school doesn't work anymore, now that they have to be driven and dropped off at school every day, or picked up at
Right.
3 o'clock. And so you can, and you can either A, agree to it on your own and just have your parenting agreement modified, or you can go back to your lawyers and say, this is our new agreement. Can you draw that up? Or, hey, we're struggling to come up with a new agreement. And then you could hire a mediator to help you kind of navigate and figure out what it is. So you still have the option to open it up and have some different conversations, but you're not doing it through the court process,
Right.
right? And so if you do it collaboratively to start with, it's a lot easier to then change that as you're moving through and as life evolves and changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Very complicated. So, what has been a couple of your biggest learnings going through this? Because you had gone through this yourself, and now you're looking at it through the lens of supporting your clients going through this. What's been a couple of the biggest learnings in the past couple of years?
I would say that some of the biggest learnings are, don't ever make a snap decision. I often will tell my clients, even if the offer on the table seems absolutely great, sleep on it and go back the next day, and or when you have your next meeting or whatever, before you agree, or take it under advisement, take an hour, whatever, and debrief with your lawyer ahead of time. And I learned that from my own divorce. Part of the interest-based, and this is where I wish my lawyers had known bank, because my bank code is NBKA, so Nurture Blueprint Knowledge Action. As nurturers in the divorce process, we will often give up things to keep the peace and to avoid the conflict, and because we just want it over.
Right.
I walked away from my divorce with nothing more than a few household items, and his what he was pushing for. So he I would say I've never actually done his bank codes, because I got into bank long after him and I had separated. If I was a betting woman, I would say he's probably a nurture action, whereas I'm nurture blueprint.
Okay,
So we
so
both have that nurturing, both get the kids were important to both of us very, very deeply. The kids were important to both of us. He was looking for spousal support. I was the breadwinner in the family. He was looking for spousal support for a long period of time after our marriage was over. And I finally said to him, I'm like, why do you think you need, I'm already paying you child support. Why do you need spousal support that much more? And he said to me, because you're going to end up in some nice house somewhere, and I'm going to end up in some dumpy little shack somewhere, and the kids are not going to want to come see me. So I was pushing back on paying spousal support because, as a nurture blueprint, I was worried about my financial stability. And so I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to financially provide for my kids. He was worried as a nurturing action, he was worried about the status of having the nicer house. And he wanted to make sure he had a house nice enough for the kids to come. And he felt he needed the spousal support in order to do that. And so I threw my hands up and just said, then take the house. It's yours. If that's what this is coming down to, take the house. And we were done. Our negotiations were over. That was it. We signed on the dotted line. I gave up too much as a nurturer. I gave up, like, I didn't even have enough for a down payment. I had to go borrow money from my parents to put a down payment on a house because I got nothing out of 21 years other than a few pieces of furniture. The nurturer in me gave up too much to make it end.
And that was one of those think on it overnight.
Yes. And so, you know, when I think back now, it's like I really wish that I had just said, okay, you know what? I think I have a solution, but I want to think about it and I'll come back to you next time. And then talk to my lawyer about it and really say, okay, what's the pitfalls of that? Because I didn't think about the pitfalls until we were done. And then it's like, wait a second, I have nothing to put as a down payment. In the long run, you know what? I'm still better off for it. You know, it's one of those bitter pills to swallow. But now I tell all of my clients, you know, it's stop and think. And before you say, yeah, I absolutely agree, talk it over to say, okay, are there any downfalls to anything that I've just offered that I haven't thought about? The second thing that I would say that I have really learned from all of it is there is life after divorce if you choose to live it. Right? Like you go into a divorce thinking, you know, life is over. It just feels like it's the end of everything. And it's the end of a chapter. It's not the end of the book. It's not the end of your story. And so, you know, a lot of my clients come to me. It was different for me because I was the one that initiated the divorce. And my counselor said to me at one point, right as soon as shortly after I had told him I wanted a divorce, he said, you know, you have to remember you grieved the loss of your marriage while you were still in the marriage. He's grieving the loss of your marriage now because he didn't know. And so I often have a lot of my clients that come to me. They're the ones that are the ones that the spouse has said, I want a divorce. And so they're grieving that process. And so I put myself in that other place and I find that empathy because I understand I made the decision to leave and I know where my frame of reference is. And now I work really hard to put myself in their shoes and understand, you know, this is a tough thing. You're grieving right now.
Well, I liken it to, as you know, I have an HR background, so I have three portions of my career: sales, human resources, and then executive coaching for women entrepreneurs who are seeking to flourish. That's my group. So that middle piece in HR, it's very akin to getting laid off, right? Who, not everyone's been through a divorce or chosen to separate. But a lot of people have been laid off. And so when something is being done to you versus you being part of that conversation and collaboratively deciding, look, it's obviously not a fit. And so, we're going to agree that one person is departing and here's how it's going to be communicated throughout the organization. It's a very different feeling as you're walking out with with your box in your hand than if you've been told, right, 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, you've been told that your services are no longer required. And not only that, but now someone else is going to pack up your office and they're going to ship your box of stuff to you. I mean, it's just a whole different experience,
Yeah, totally.
right? Because
Totally.
we go through that Elizabeth Strong model, short for anger, denial. We go through the dip before we finally come to this point of acceptance and can start climbing up the other side. So if we are the people who have made the decision, we're in a very different headspace. I'm not saying that it removes the emotional charge, because usually there's a reason that we've come to that decision, that things are
Yeah.
not that they're not going to come back together again. But we've had a bit of time to think about it. For
Yeah,
me,
and I think that's what's helped me too with being able to put myself in that other, because in 2020 I found myself in a situation of having to file a harassment complaint at work. And I went through that process, and some of what I learned through that is, what can I control? If I can't control it, what can I control? What can I do about it? And once I know that, then it's being able to take back your power, right? And so in that situation, like I couldn't control the person that was harassing me, but once I had understood that what was happening was actually harassment, I knew we had policies and procedures in place, and I was able to file that. And so it ended up that, at the end of the day, I couldn't go back to work. I couldn't trust the organization, and I couldn't trust leadership to have my back. And so I made the decision to be placed somewhere else within the organization, like the broader organization, to get away from that particular work area. But you're right, it was a hard pill to swallow, as far as they weren't willing to go to bat for me the way I needed them to, and it was feeling that rejection. And so having to go through all of that, and I think it's I take from that experience to help put myself in that other person's shoes when they're the ones being told they no longer want to be in that marriage anymore.
Well, it's interesting how people respond. I've been involved in many of those severance conversations. That was one of my roles as a VP for a global talent management firm. It was career transition that was the majority of my work. So, 400 people getting laid off, leading teams of transition consultants to pick up the pieces after the person has been given their news or their pink slip, and helping them to see, what is your very next one single step? Because as you and I both know, right, people go, they get something done to them, it's a shock, right? So they're all of a sudden, it's like, well, that's it, we're gonna have to sell the house then, because it's like, well, hang on a second, right? Let's just see. What do we need to do today? Today you need to get home. Need to get home safely. And you don't have to pick up the phone and start calling everybody right away and letting them know, because the first question they're going to ask is, oh my gosh, well, what are you going to do next? And you're not in that state yet to be able to articulate that. So you're probably going to end up bad
Yeah.
mouthing your boss or the company, or what's the situation, or pouring your heart out, or and they very often, the other person doesn't know how to deal with it. So
Yeah.
next time you call, when you're ready to say, I'm looking for this type of opportunity, they're a bit wary of picking up the phone. And same thing in this separation world as well, right? So when we're the ones who make the call and make the decision, while we might still be further ahead emotionally at that point in time, we still need to know, what are the supports, what are the resources,
Yeah.
what's out there that will help us get to the next step. So what happened for me, Jody, is I ended up getting really sick last year, and finding out that I actually had made myself so sick worrying about stuff that I couldn't control and was trying to fix in the relationship, that I had got cancer. And so after that
Wow.
surgery to take that out, because it was like a surprise finding. When I had a gallbladder attack, all of a sudden saying, oh, well, you have this mass on your kidney. I was like, well, and we're going to have to take your kidney out too. And I'm like, whoa, good job, I
Wow.
have another one.
Yeah.
So I had made myself sick worrying
Yeah.
about trying to fix stuff in the relationship. So after I got in my own place, got a bit more settled, I reflected on my experience, and I thought, universe is obviously gifted me this experience for something, here am I, author of this book, All Around Words. How can I take that experience of not necessarily asking myself, what am I tolerating? Because if we don't speak up, then everyone assumes everything is okay. No, it wasn't okay. But because I was not speaking up about it, apparently loud enough or often enough, apparently my words fell on stony ground. So I came up with a new program. So I haven't talked to about this on, I think maybe on one other of my shows. I talked a little bit about it, but it's a program called My Voice, and it's a 6-month-long program to help women to speak up, be heard, and be confident. And it looks at how do we leverage our skills? What are those skills? Who are we, if we're in business for ourselves, who are we marketing to? Who are our ideal customers? If we're in an internal professional position, how can we make sure that we're capturing our results so that we can be considered for a promotion? And I bring in Reiki. I'm also certified in Reiki. I know you're certified in half a dozen things like me. Bring in Reiki as well, bring in my confident words from the book, and also start looking at habits and behaviors. So it's like a 6-month-long program all around elevating women's voices. And so I'll talk a bit more about that throughout the coming months, but that's evolved like you, right? It evolved out of my own experience and knowing, if someone had given me the opportunity of doing this, how much it would have really helped. We also talked a little bit about this bank system. Now you've got it up on your wall. So for anyone who's looking at the video versus listening online, we
Better
talked a little bit
cards.
earlier. We talked a little earlier about, my code is, right? So for those of you who didn't know what the heck we were talking about, this system, it's a very simple 4-card system. Each card has 10 values, and each of these 4 sets of values are very unique to a personality style. So Blueprint is, Judy mentioned that's one of her codes, is all about structure, processes, systems, predictability. So working in the field of law is makes a lot of sense because it's very structured, right? The A is for action. So this is your mover, shaker, speaker, grabbing the front of the room, driving the Ferrari. It's got to be something that is highly visible and makes a lot of sense, makes a lot of money. Nurturing is all about impact and community and making sure voices get heard, collaboration, nurturing. That's my first code, nurture, then action. And then the knowledge is about logic. So if someone has knowledge in their personality, very often it's about competency, accuracy. Don't try and argue with them because they're always right. And you can't sell them on anything. They need to come up with their own opinion based on the evidence, the data, the science, and the proof. So they will drill you for the details, and it'll probably drive you nuts if that's not your personality type. So there are 4 very different codes. And if you'd like to know more about that, if you're listening to this show because Jody sent you an email and said, hey, come and listen to this show. I know that you have it on your website. I actually have this as a 90-second free gift that you can take. You can do the assessment online, and it's on my website as well. If you've been coming to listen through my connections, yvonnesilver.com, a little window will pop up and you can crack your code, crack your personality code. Just put in where you want your email sent and you'll get your free report. And I think, Jody, you have the same link
Yeah, I have the same link in my on my website as well,
on
in
your
a couple
website.
different places. Yeah, and
Yeah.
I'm working with lawyers. I've just launched an 8-week coaching program to work with lawyers to bring bank into the negotiation process, because I just can't help but think of how powerful it would be to not only know, your own code, but the code of your client, the code of the opposing lawyer, and the code of the opposing lawyer's client. And if you knew all four, because it's not just, you need to make sure that not only are you speaking to the clients, You need to understand how you show up in your code so that you know what you need to shift and how you need to change the way you're communicating. And I can't help but think of how much faster or smoother you could get to a negotiation settlement if you were just speaking to their values. Like I think about my own, like with me and my ex-husband, the power that could have had if we had known some of what I know now, if our
Right.
lawyers had understood that, it
Yeah.
could have been a slightly different, and it wouldn't have had to be materially different, but my lawyer probably would have had a better sense to be able to say, okay, hang on, can we take a time out? Because they would have understood that as a nurturing blueprint, I just gave away the farm because I didn't want to argue anymore.
Right. Well, it's going to be an interesting conversation over the coming, months. I think that both my ex and I have nurturing as our primary code, and his secondary is knowledge, and so that will show up. That will show up in a different way. Mine is action, so I'm like, let's not spend like hours and hours navel gazing. Let's just get this done,
And he's going to want to dig into the details.
in a fair way. There is, for anyone listening and you're in business, there is a fact that these two codes tend to make decisions based on emotion. These two make their decisions based on data and science, and so it takes longer. So I totally agree, Jody. What a valuable group that needs to understand more about the negotiation process. I mean, it's so different from what you actually get to learn as you're going through, becoming a lawyer. It's a very, very different skill set. And when it's values based and it's all around language, that's what really attracted me to this tool, because it's simple, it's quick, it takes 90 seconds. And then there's also an artificial intelligence tool, which means that if you're drafting documents, you can actually run it through the artificial intelligence window, and it'll tell you whether it's going to appeal to the other person based on their personality code. That's a whole other conversation. So we're just coming up to our last 10 minutes here. So I want to make sure that the listeners are really appreciating the depth of wisdom that you have brought together. When you think about the understanding of going through the personal divorce scenario yourself, how it could have been different, the appreciation for going through workplace conflict and how that can also charge up the emotions, or again, be dealt with in a different, more collaborative manner when everyone feels safe being in the conversation. And then bringing that together with your collaborative mediation training, that's a pretty powerful combination. I'm so glad that this is a service that is being now offered and being more widely communicated, because having this as like the secret underground thing, I think there are so many more people that will benefit once they hear this interview.
Well, and
And
I think the other thing that I want to get across is my part of my goal is to help my clients save time and money going through this process. And so my billing model is I bill 50% of whatever their lawyers charge. So
50.
50%.
Only 50%. Okay.
So 50%. So if you don't have a lawyer, then I charge 200 an hour because the average lawyer is about four. But once you hire your lawyer, if you hire a lawyer that's less than 400 an hour, then I adjust my rate down. If you hire a lawyer that's more, then I adjust it up, but I charge 50%. And that my goal is that rather than you spending time with the lawyers going through all of the finances, I want to give them incentive to use other tools to help keep their costs down. And so I bill at 50% of the lawyer's rate, and I bill in 5 minute increments. I know many lawyers will bill in 15 minute increments. I bill to the nearest 5 minutes. And so I do everything I can to try and help them keep their costs down. And by working with me, and getting stuff ready ahead of time, hopefully you're going to spend less time at the lawyers as well as spending less. So my goal is to help you save time and money going through this process.
Excellent. And you also wrote a, I'm not sure if it's a book or if it's a kit that you put
It's a
together.
kit. It's the
Tell me
divorce
more about
guide.
the
So
divorce.
on my website, I have a divorce guide. It retails at $97. And basically it's a comprehensive document that goes through all of the different financial documents that you need to pull. It gives you a checklist of what you need. It gives you some tools that you need to start doing some of your goal setting. There's a questionnaire in there to, if you have kiddos involved, just to like really start thinking about what do you want out of this for your kids. And ideally, you would have both you and your spouse fill that out and see where you're similar and where you're different. But it kind of takes you through the various aspects of divorce, and it just helps you kind of start getting your thoughts together, helps you figure out what getting yourself organized. I've got templates in there. There's links to different templates to start creating your monthly budget, to start figuring out what your childcare expenses are, your Section 7, they're called here in Alberta. So like your daycare costs and your extracurricular activities. Different templates for figuring out your assets and your liabilities and what's most important to you, and starting to look at that stuff before you even get into negotiations. If you make a list of all of your assets and say, on a scale of 1 to 4, how important is it for me to get this particular item? 1, I don't care. If they want it, they can have it. All the way up to 5 is, I absolutely have to have it. This is my hill to die on. So that you can kind of figure out what's important to you the most before you even walk in. And that becomes part of your goal setting with your lawyer, is to be able to sit down and say, you know what, some of this other stuff I really don't care about, but it's really important to me that I get that antique hutch because that belonged to my great great grandmother. And yes, it has value, but that to me is a non-negotiable. He cannot have that. She cannot have that. So it's really getting clear. And so this guide just kind of takes you through some of that to start getting your head in that space.
Excellent. So, listeners, we've been talking today with Jody Graham, empoweredcollaboration.ca. Empoweredcollaboration.ca is her website. So, check out that guide, because that is going to be a wealth of information. And you quoted a statistic. I can't remember where I saw it quoted, whether it was a Facebook post or something just recently about a third of people.
Yeah, about 1 in 3 people are either going through a divorce or contemplating going through a divorce.
Okay. So, ladies,
1 in 3.
if one of your friends is in this situation and they're just, especially if they're in the early stages, tell them about Jody, please, because there is so much that we as women can do to elevate our confidence when we have the tools, the knowledge, the language to have more powerful conversations. And this is certainly an area where we can really support our next step into a new life and get that much bigger, faster, richer, deeper, more of rewarding relationship with ourselves, starting our new life when we have the power and we've got that under control. So thank you again, Jody, for joining me today.
And Yvonne, if they reach out as and they tell me that they heard on the show, they heard about me on this show, I will gift them that divorce guide. It, like I
Brilliant.
said, it retails for 97 on my website, but if they just book a call and we have a conversation, whether they book to work with me at all, I do offer a free 1 hour consult. So if you're not sure if it's a good fit, or if you're not sure if you're ready to take that step yet, they can book a free 1 hour consultation with me. And if they tell me that they heard me on the show, then I will gift them that guide, whether they choose to work with me or not.
Excellent. So you want to make sure that you keep in touch with Jody. You can find her also on LinkedIn. You're on Facebook as well.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram. They can find me through empoweredcollaboration.ca on both Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent. And if anything that I've said today around the power of your words, the power of language, using personality science, using, specific words like you has sparked an interest, or even the My Voice program that I described, which is all about being heard, valued, and being more confident, please feel free to reach out at yvonnesilva.com. Look me up, connect with me on LinkedIn. And thank you for joining us today for this really intriguing and necessary conversation. Thank you again, Jody, and have a beautiful evening, everybody. Thank you.